Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
For the first time on the show, and I got to meet Eric Stone Street at the Savannah Bananas game. And, of course, we all know who he is, and he's one of the founders of Big Slick, but our paths just hadn't crossed. And so you never know. You know, I just think movies, TV, Hollywood, LA, like, you know, the big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's amazingly successful. And then we met at the game and started chatting it up, and it became like the Wyandotte rumor mill. Like, it was the best talk I'd had in a long time with a guy. When you first meet, and you go, you kind of like dogs sniffing around. You're like, so you do know. You're part of wine. You're like, you're real wine. He's like, you're real wine.
You've been in the same circles.
Well, that's you know, and there's a comfortability that comes that. And you go, oh, I get you, dude. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, that's where it stops. Then he has actual talent. And
he did things with his life.
Yeah, he's got a whole successful thing working out. So.
Born September 9th in Kansas City, Kansas, a graduate of Piper High School and Kansas State University, he is an actor who made a name for himself as Cam on the long-running ABC sitcom, Modern Family. He's become an even bigger part of the fabric of Kansas City, being part of the ownership group of the Kansas City Royals, and as one of the stars behind the Big Slick Celebrity Weekend benefiting Children's Mercy Hospital, happening on June 24th and 25th. Please welcome Kansas City's own Eric Stone Street.
Hey man, how are you?
Hey Johnny.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm just comfortable here at home, and you know, it's early in the morning. I haven't been a morning guy in like 2 years since the show ended.
Right? No kidding, man. It's awful
how
to get up
do
in the
morning.
It's terrible. You never get used to it. It's a terrible thing. If I had other options, I would immediately opt out of this. I didn't realize what a KCK, like a true old school guy, till we met at the game and started talking. I was like, man, I go, that's what I was talking to Baron about. Was he goes, hey, Eric Stone Street, we started talking about Disgraceland, my little piece near the Speedway. And you and I talked about your hunk of land. You really got deep up in Leavenworth County, man. And how many acres did you grab up there that is now a forest for you?
I think we got roughly 400 acres.
That is, goddamn, I love that. Like, and not because you want to even be a farmer. You just want to stretch out, and it feels good to walk around out there.
Well, when the show was ending, I was looking at little 10-acre, 4-acre pieces up at the central coast of California, and I was like, I want a piece of property, you know, like that I could stretch out on. And
yeah.
And then I met Lindsay, my now fiance, who's from here. And then my parents were getting older, and I thought, why am I looking in a third location if I'm going to be coming to Kansas City to see my folks, and Lindsay's here, and we're going to make this work. So then we just decided, well, let's try to find a really cool piece of place, property in Kansas City, and retether myself there. That was before the pandemic. And then once the pandemic happened, we had already gotten a piece of property. And then I was like, heck with it. I'm coming home.
Sure.
And had a place to be, and not, we don't live there. We just, but it's been my creative outlet for the last 2 years of just putting that piece of, you know, property together and building stuff. And
that's what's so weird. That's what's so weird about meeting you is I'm like, because everybody in the room here is like, Jesus Christ, that's exactly what I've been doing. I don't live in disgrace land. I bought the land and not really was sure why. I just knew I really wanted to. And so it just became cutting roads and bridges and putting up a building,
yeah,
and digging the pond. And for whatever reason, man, you can't hear the noise out there, and it always feels right.
It feels so good. And, you know, I love cutting trails and mowing grass. And, you know, I send videos and pictures to all my friends in Los Angeles and former coworkers. I sent a video to Julie Bowen of me cutting grass, smoking a cigar the other day. And she's just like, I want to be you. I said, well, maybe for a minute you probably would. And then you'd be ready to go inside. But it's great, man. It's been such a fun experience. I love the name of your place. We call ours Fallen Tree Farms.
Great.
Because there's a lot of trees and they fall over, and rather than worrying about when they fall over, I'm like, let's embrace what they do naturally and just this place Fallen Tree.
Absolutely, man. No, I have the same weird feelings. Like, I have a buddy who's an arborist, and we were clearing it. He'd be like, well, look, that's a dead tree. I go, leave the dead tree, because it's a great habitat for about a gazillion different kinds of creature. And he just looked at me like I grew a second head, you know. And then you're like, look, woodpeckers, termites, we've got, look at all everything that's living inside this. So there's an owl, there's this, there's that. And so I have a weird set of rules that have developed over the years with everything that goes on with outside. Like, it's no rhyme or reason to why it is the way it is. I just have developed this odd rules. And you do really, it's strange to become an adult and realize I'm not good. I don't really remember how to use a chainsaw anymore. And so
you
get good at it. You're like, yeah, this feels great. And then you're like, you have a skid steer, or you just learn to, I mean, just do stuff again.
Well, let me tell you something I thought I would never own and is one of the best tools I have is an electric battery-powered chainsaw. Do you have one?
I do not, but that, oh, I've my heard God. They're amazing.
I mean, I have a normal chainsaw. So just for all the guys out there that are like, falling over and calling me a wuss right now. I have gas powered chainsaw too, but let me tell you, I have a Still, and then I have a Makita battery powered.
Yep.
Dude, you will not regret the purchase.
See, my only hang is I don't have electricity out at the land. I have to run on a generator. So, because I'm an idiot, I will just forget. And because, you know, how many times, we didn't have a side-by-side at first. So it's the 30 acres. And, you know, when it's all forested, 30 acres isn't long if it's a pasture. But if it's a forest, it feels like it's 10 miles. And we'd walk in and I'd forget something for the chainsaw or for the, you know, whatever we were doing that day. And I'd have to walk all the way back out again to 20-foot container. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it'd be summertime.
That's when I'd be out.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I'm done. I'm tired of being an outdoor person now.
Yeah,
I'm going back inside.
Yeah, no, it's a snake farm, free-range tick area for sure. But it's you're such a great part of Kansas City, man. And that's what I learned that day. That's the thing that I walked away from that conversation just feeling great, going, man, that dude, I mean, not only are you a great actor and a comedian and just a good all-around human, but you're exactly like the people that I always end up really wanting to be friends with, you know, guys like Baron Corbin, you know, like real guys who go out and do their thing and they want to create, but they always come home. There's always that same feeling, man. It's that, for whatever it is, that gravitational pull of Wyandotte, it always comes back.
Yeah, it's funny. It's, you know, it was always like a nice, you know, warm hug when I would come home, you know, especially after 2009 when Modern Family happened and people knew who the heck I was.
Sure.
Nobody cared before then other than my family and friends. But after that happened, coming home just always felt so good. And, you know, again, with Lindsay being here and my folks, it just made so much sense to start time back here more. And it feels great.
Well, you Riggle, I mean, Sudeikis, you know, you look at this Koechner, Rudd, it is amazing the amount of talent that's come out of the city. And then seeing the beginning of the Big Slick, you know, I worked with Gloria here in radio, Paul's mom, for years and years, and she's such a power on her own. I always knew her son was an actor, Paul Rudd, and I knew who he was, but I wasn't keyed into the whole thing as much because she and I would just talk about my mom because my mom's English. And then the Big Slick happened, and I really put it all together in my head watching these guys, all of you, who were, you know, out there really making it happen in the hardest possible environment. Really, you have to work so hard, and you have to never be a never-ending effort. And the thing for you guys to come back and start this charitable event, that first year, I was so blown away by the honesty, the truth, the generosity, and this the genuine heart that the Big Slick is. I mean, it's not a sideshow event for paparazzi. It's to do good for the city.
Rob and Paul, of course, started it with Jason. And then, you know, again, I was in that time where I was just still trying to make it in Hollywood and make it on, you know, some kind of name for myself. And then after a couple of years after they started it, Modern Family happened and they figured out I was from here and invited me as a guest. And I came, I think, 1 or 2 years as a guest and then asked me to join as a host. But, you know, it's really great. They've done a good job. And of course, the families just take over and make it all happen. So, but again, that's, you know, what makes that successful isn't necessarily us or the families. It's the people of Kansas City that support it, which is
sure.
A full circle moment of why the gravitational pull is here is because it's a great city full of great people.
Isn't it fun to have your Hollywood friends kind of catch the magic of Kansas City over that weekend when you see him go, holy cow, we didn't even, you know, it's a flyover state, right? I think people, and I kind of hope they never figure it out, that it is wonderful here.
It is. They always comment, and I know your listeners notice too, like no city wears their letters on their t-shirts more than Kansas City. I mean,
it's true.
You go to every airport I'm in, I always see someone in Chiefs, Royals, Kansas City. And that's not to say other cities don't wear their stuff, but just the fact that we're walking around in shirts that say KC or hats that say KC everywhere we go. I don't see any hats out there that just say Ohio, you know, or Cleveland. You know, I see Cleveland Brown stuff, but we are a walking advertisement for our city, and you're correct. I hope people don't figure it out. I'll tell you a funny story. I had a buddy of mine who's an actor. He's on Barry. If you've seen
yes,
Barry, he plays the police chief on the show. Very funny guy, longtime pal. His name's Gary Krause, great actor. We just got to talking about something, and he's like, you know, I want to come to Kansas City. Do you care if I come to Kansas City and like just explore it in case we want to retire there someday? They're in their 50s.
That's great.
And I said, sure. So Gary came and spent a week with me in Kansas City just as some hypothetical exploratory mission to see if someday they might want to retire here.
That's so great, man, because it is. It's, you know, the difference is with the shirts. I feel like a lot of times when people wear a New York, L.A., whatever the big city is, they're saying, we're the best, we're the best. And I've seen somebody in KC wear a shirt, and it always seems to me they're going, I love this city. It always feels like a different declarative statement.
Well, I've gotten into my fair share of arguments over the years because I am full of pride about where I'm from. And, you know, people are eager to say exactly what you said. Oh, well, it's no New York City, or it's no Boston, or where, you know, whatever it is. It's like, well, yeah, I know it's not, but
and thank God.
The difference when we won the World Series, when we won the Super Bowl, it's just a different thing because the expectation level in those cities is, well, they're going to win something all the time. Somebody's going to win something. There's more money or whatever.
Right.
And it's hard to explain the pride, like of me crying like a baby when we won the Super Bowl. And I know there's sports fans in New York City, but obviously, but it's just a different. It's just a different feeling for us here.
It very much is. I don't even like sports, and it's just it's not something I grew up watching. But catching the, you know, obviously I live here, and I want nothing more than our teams to do well and win. But that, like, the series was a big thing. We walked down there. We drove down to see it, to walk the streets and look at the looks on people's faces and the joy and the father-son, like, throwing the ball. And you didn't see broken bottles and cars on fire. You saw, like, families with just, you're right, people crying, people super over the top filled with that joy. And it was so fun to see. And then, of course, Mahomes is, there's no way to not be a fan of him as just a human being, like to what he does. Like the story is too good to watch him is so unorthodox. And back to Barry, you know, Henry Winkler, who's a friend, he adores Kansas. Like, he really loves. In fact, lately he's been popping up with Kansas City comments a bunch with Mahomes and coming here.
Yeah.
And I figure if we get the Henry Winkler blessing, we're all right. We're good to go.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Oh, the sweetest human being in the world. I would murder for him.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Johnny.
I'm going to be honest. I really would, Eric. How'd you get to know Baron Corbin?
You know how Baron Corbin happened was because during the time of Big Slick, people would tweet me and say, wrestler Baron Corbin is from Kansas City. And yep. enough people tweeted that I finally reached out to him or did my research and reached out to him and figured it out. And I have been a huge fan of professional wrestling in my life. I can't say that at the time I knew much about wrestling, other than Brock Lesnar is a pal of mine that I'd met through strange ways.
That's awesome.
Oh, you want to talk about a normal, I don't want to pull the curtain back too much on Brock Lesnar and his character, but you want to talk about the nicest, caringest guy ever. I mean, people hate Brock Lesnar, but my God, you would just, the person he is so different than the persona that he creates. And I judge people by, you know, I met Brock with friends, and 6 months later, he remembered their names. He asked about my parents because they were, you know, something was going on, and I couldn't believe what a good guy Brock is. Anyway,
that's who
I met Baron. So I reached out to him and got a video from him for Big Slick. The first year I had reached out to him, he couldn't come. They were in Saudi Arabia or something like that, and or wrestling somewhere overseas. And he sent a really great video from the center of the ring. And then I said, we'll get you there someday when you can. And this year he's coming as a live guest.
So killer, man. And it is so much fun to watch this thing unfold and see the people like Sheryl Crow rolling in. Like, it's just always this great mixture of comedians and sketch comedy guys and athletes. And it's just a joy to watch them wholeheartedly embrace this great idea, which is support Children's Mercy Hospital, and then really understand that it is about going and visiting those kids, making their day a little brighter, putting that money into the system for research, helping that, you know, move itself along. And then the idea that it's not a big sad event. That's the other thing that really puts the Big Slick so far out above everything else. You know, so many charitable events I want to support, and I definitely send checks, but I'm like, man, I don't want to go to that. That's going to be the saddest thing I've ever seen. It'll be a nonstop Sarah McLachlan song, you know?
And I will remember.
It's true. But this is like best.
Oh.
So much fun this is.
Yeah.
Dude, it's...
It's a great time. And again, we appreciate the people coming and doing the show. We've had some really great guests. This year is really hard because it's the first year that I feel like a lot of people feel like they're free, you know, because of the last 2 years. And so a lot of people that would normally want to come are all traveling and actually going and enjoying their lives for the first time in LA on vacations or working. So it's been a tough year of invites. I've had a couple people that were coming and then had to cancel. My friend Bobby Lee, who is one of the funniest people in the world and one of my oldest friends from Los Angeles, he was going to come, but unfortunately something popped up for him, so he can't make it this year. But he, you know, he'll be the good thing is they always give rain checks, and then people always end up coming at some point.
Yeah, well, listen, Kevin Pollak's back too, right?
Oh yeah, he's so funny,
dude. I had the greatest moment with him the very first year Big Slick. They invited me out to play at the ball game, and so I'm rounding and I stop on second where he's playing second. And he's making this huge deal, and I'm kind of watching him in the corner of my eye, and I'm smiling because he's such a giant personality. For, you know, he's not super tall, and he looks at me in the corner of my eye and he goes, "It's always show business, kid. It's always show business." It was this fantastic out-of-body experience for me. I was like, am I really here right now? This is all the way it's going to work out? And it was just...
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part about, you know, living the life that you know, we get to live sometime is the surrealness of the moment. And I always, as my Modern Family and career ascended, or, you know, my Saturday nights changed over the years, I always tried to be not only a participant in those Saturday nights, but also an observer of the Saturday nights, and watched as they say, like, wow, what would 16-year-old Eric think of this situation right now? And always tried to enjoy them, but also, you know, look at them from the outside, these moments.
Yeah, I live so similar, man. It is, because I love to watch and just and see and be a part of that moment. But it's always that. I always have the movie in my head of like, what are you doing, man? Like, what is that? How in the hell did you end up in this situation? And it's fun. I mean, it's just, it is a fantastic life. And that, you know, again, I think that people like you and people like Rob Riggle and the rest of the guys, there's a reason that you're also successful. It is hard work and it is talent, but there's a heart that goes along that I find that people that are consistently happy in their lives and they really are putting good out in the world because there is a rhythm to it, I believe. I think if you're a good human being, I mean, a genuine good, I think, and you work hard, I think it all works itself out. It really does. I think you have a happy life. Your reward is to be happy.
Yeah, but some real jerks have also found success in that.
But they're miserable. But they're miserable twats.
Yeah. One can only hope.
I've met some guys where I'm like, they're so successful. And you can just look at them. I'm like, why are you so miserable with yourself? And you're right, though. There are some of them that you go, Jesus Christ. How did Hitler make it? You know what I mean? Like you go, Jesus Christ. I can't kill you with a ball-peen hammer. I love to see good guys win. In the end, that really is the message. Watching good guys win is probably the greatest joy anybody will ever have in life.
Well, in our business, I never looked at somebody else's success as meaning that I couldn't have success. And what you meet in Hollywood is a lot of people that begrudge you success. So I would always tell people, like, you have to identify people that aren't happy for you. You know, your little wins, if it's a callback to an audition, if it's a meeting with an agent or whatever those little tiny steps are in the beginning, if you share that information with someone and their response is anything other than that's awesome, man, congratulations, you need to get them out of your life because they're a toxic person and they're not going to be ever happy for you.
No, and they're never going to lift you up. In the end, I merely mean this, dude, I love to see good guys win. I just I have a childlike brain in the sense that I want to see good guys win because I need to feel like that's how the world works. I need to feel like the good outweighs the bad, that, you know, the come from behind kid, you know, the bad news bears, whatever it is you want. Like, that's the story I need to believe in.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that work real hard in our industry there and never find the success. I was just talking about that with somebody the other day, talking about, what was it? We were talking about understudies and things like that, where, you know, I worked hard at my craft and feel like I was born with, you know, some talent that I can't work. But luck, no doubt, played a part in my career. As anybody will tell you, you have to be at the right place at the right time, but you have to be prepared at the right place at the right time as well. And you have to be good at the right place at the right time. But there is a luck element. But my point is, there's so many people that are really good, because it wasn't like I was a terrible actor and then I auditioned for Modern Family and then all of a sudden I was good. I was always the person before that show, right?
Yeah.
And then I got the opportunity. And so I was telling somebody, and I can't remember what the conversation was, the context, but I was saying there's people in the wings that are great actors. A perfect example. Do you know the commercials where the guy in Jake will know who this guy is?
I lost you for a second there. Hold on, your phone was breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, the guy. I'm here now. What was the guy you were saying? He was the guy in which commercial?
The insurance commercials,
progressive
or where he's teaching people how to not become their parents.
Yes.
He's a guy I've known forever. Actually went to the University of Kansas. He's from Illinois. But he's a guy that has worked forever, and that guy could be on a sitcom tomorrow and always has been be able to be a person that could be on a sitcom tomorrow and that you would love. His name's Bill Glass. But, you know, that's the point, is like there's these talented people everywhere that just need the opportunity to make it.
And I think it does help if you're a good cat and people root for you, that, you know, if it's going to be all things being equal, there's this guy who's a jackal and this guy's a good cat and either could do the job. You think, man, you know, why not be the guy that people do want to be around?
Well, that was advice I got early on in my career, on like when you have these moments, these big auditions where you're, you know, testing for a show or something like that. This acting coach was like, it's given that you're qualified to be in the room if you're in the room. But what you have to convey also in that moment is that you will be a good person. You're a good business partner, because they want to pick someone that's not going to be a jerk
right.
on the show, on the set, on the whatever. So that was always a technique of like, how in this moment, you know, my 3 minutes in this room with all these people that are could potentially change my life, convey to them that I'm a normal, regular guy. So I really took that advice to heart early in my career.
Yeah, and you know what? It's obviously it served you well. If you're just joining the show, by the way, we're here with the great Eric Stone Street. The Big Slick is just around the corner. I want to make sure that everybody understands this is happening 24th, 25th of this month. And I mean, it's raised more than $13 million for Children's Mercy Hospital. It's spread knowledge and understanding and helps with research and lets people know that the hospital even exists. That you know, this is a place where you don't get thrown a bill. Like these guys take care of your kids. And it's which, by the way, your family, man, your fiance, beautiful, the kids, everybody. What a nice looking, genuinely cool bunch of people.
Yeah, well, I got lucky there. I definitely. She was a nurse at Children's Mercy. I actually met her at the Big Slick, walking into a patient's room that I met there, I guess, 6 years ago now. And we reconnected after the Big Slick over something to do with Big Slick. It's a terribly long story that if your audience is not already asleep, us talking about our property would definitely put them to sleep. But
yeah, how about the idea, though, that because I'm powerless against a moment like that. So you're saying this beautiful girl who works to help children and make them better, you meet in that environment. I'm just like, whatever you want, I'm yours. Well, I'm okay. Like, there's
right.
I'm yeah. done. I'm smashed. That's over.
Well, you know, a good friend of mine in Los Angeles, when I was going through all my single days of thinking I'm never going to meet a genuine normal girl, she's like, you know what, you need a nurse. You just need a nurse from Kansas City. And literally she said that
it's
5 years before I ever met Lindsay. And then all of a sudden I meet Lindsay, and here I'm doing everything I can to, you know, deny that I'd met what somebody had written down on a piece of paper for me for like 5 years ago. So finally I'm like, okay, well, this clearly is supposed to be what it is.
Dude, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful story. Listen, I would keep you all morning. I'm not, because I'm not going to abuse this. I'm just so glad that you stopped by and made the phone call, man. And we'll catch up. We'll get with Baron, and we'll go blow stuff up. We'll chainsaw stuff. We'll set stuff on fire.
Yeah,
we'll
just... man, it's awesome. How did you meet Baron? Just from him being...
Through the radio.
Baron,
well,
and you...
Yeah, so... He'd come through, and we'd been on the radio talking in this, and then of course they do the tour, and all of a sudden he pops into the studio, and you're like, you're a goddamn giant, and I, you know, obviously same thing. You do your research, like, he's from Kansas City, he's done all this stuff, all this fighting, this Golden Gloves, played ball, you know, his stories of just the reason the world has worked out for him the way it is. He he just beats his way through this world with a smile.
Yeah.
And his heart is giant. He's a great dude, but he's one of those guys you'll meet in your life that he likes pain that I don't like. Like,
right.
he's got those friends that'll just, like, laugh and punch each other in the face and drinking whiskey. And I'm like, dude, don't make me shoot you, because I will. It's like, you're too big. You're too big and too scary to me. And his brother Danny, if you've ever met him, he is, you know, he's like a nurse. He helps and, you know, he does outreach stuff, just as big and tall. And he is he's so incredibly sweet. And they're the same guy, but they're so very different at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'll hopefully meet him sometime. But I was happy that he was coming and to the show this year.
Oh, we're gonna go ride motorcycles and hang out and just get stupid. You know, that dude's always up for a ridiculous adventure.
Yeah, that's where I check out on the motorcycles. Yeah. Never a motorcycle guy.
That's all right. You know what? I got a sidecar. I do.
Can you imagine? I'd have to, me and my electric chainsaw, I would have to check in my man card. Like, every guy would see me and like, you're done. No, nope, you're done.
Yo, listen, you are all that is, man, Eric Stone Street. I'm proud to meet you, and I'm sure we'll catch up with each other very soon.
Yeah, absolutely, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Take care, man. Hold on.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 80 degrees in Kansas City. Oh, the beating's off air worse than the ones on.
I knew somebody'd have to have this. Things I like more than soccer. Because in my own mind right now, I'm like scrapbooking. I've never done it. I'm like anything. Adopting orphans.
The soccer.
Shaving T's back. Anything.
It finally got to us, though. We were announced yesterday that World Cup is coming 2026.
Kansas City.
It's huge. But if you have a soccer player in your life, it's 2022, so I accept you.
Thank you.
And you can love whatever sport you want.
I support
See?
You.
See, isn't that?
Yes.
Born July 8th in Arlington Heights, Illinois, he is a stand-up comedian who has made a name for himself with such Comedy Central, Showtime and Netflix specials as Stay Hungry, What's Wrong with People, Aren't You Embarrassed, and Why Would You Do That? And he's bringing his Nobody Does This tour to the Midland Theater on June 26th. Please welcome Sebastian Maniscalco.
One of the great stories, if you follow comedy, you know exactly who Sebastian is. But otherwise, he could have slipped past your radar and be the most successful guy you've never heard of if you're not into comedy. And there's almost no way to explain this. But he is on the edge of just...
Brilliant.
He is brilliant. Sebastian, welcome to the show. How are you?
I want to address the soccer comment. I was all-conference Rolling Meadows High School, 1990, and I love soccer, and I had a beautiful mullet to prove it.
Yes. Yes. You know,
so, I am happy to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on the show, and I can't wait to get to Kansas City. More importantly, I've never tried barbecue in Kansas City, and this time around, I think I'm going to have to indulge.
Oh, listen, your colon will scream. You will be happy.
Perfect.
It is fantastic. Well, look, Chicago's just up the road, right? I mean, you grew up in Chicago.
Grew up in Chicago, Arlington Heights, Illinois. I left there when I was about 24 to come out to Los Angeles to pursue a career in stand-up comedy. And you're right. I've been flying under the radar for 24 years. You know, there's no really big movie or TV success that I could hang my hat on. I've just been doing stand-up comedy pretty much half of my life. And each year it's gotten better and better and better. It's been great.
Well, it really is. And by the way, I cannot sell this enough so people understand like what you are and what you've done. Your story is insane. You set the record for the biggest grossing comedy event in, was it 18 or 19?
I think that was 19. Was it the Madison Square Garden?
Four sold out nights. Four sold out nights, correct?
Yeah, every Italian in the New York City area came to the show, so the arena smelled like cologne. It was beautiful.
It smelled like Jacquard.
You are a comedian's comedian. You are such a great talent, and because you do speak to the truth in all of our families, man, it all starts at the table. There's a thread of honesty that rolls through all of your comedy. That is, I think, the thing that people fall in love with. It starts with family, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I grew up in an Italian family, and I talk a lot about my father, immigrant upbringing, and now I got my own family. I got two kids, 5 and 3. And as an older dad, I'm 48, going to be 49 next year. I got a 5 and 3-year-old. So You know, I'm not like a young father. I play with my kids, but a lot of the play is like I'm laying down. You know, I mean, there's a lot of doctor patient type of play we do where let's find out what's wrong with daddy's knees. So I do a lot of playing with them, and my wife loves arts and crafts, which I can't really get into. I don't know if you guys did arts and crafts growing up, but my wife's family was really, really into it. And now, you know, my wife's like, hey, do you want to do arts and crafts? And I'm like, can we make money on that? I mean, like, I don't want to sit there and glue macaroni to a cardboard, you know? So it's an adjustment for me being a father at this age. But my kids are great, and Father Day's coming up, and we're going to go see Buzz Lightyear.
Is that going to be the move? Is that the move for them to take you to see their movie?
Well, you know what? It's like I'm dying to see Top Gun, and I was asking my buddies last night. I go, would it be a problem if my family went to go see Buzz Lightyear and I skipped to the next theater to see Top Gun? And apparently, that's not the move. So
I disagree. I feel that
day
should be your day.
Pretty much any day of the week.
Yeah. You waited. I mean, because understand this. There's so many stories I want to ask you about. You were a waiter in Los Angeles. And when I was 18, I moved out to Hollywood and Highland out there in Hollywood in 89. So it's a rough place to go and explore when you're young and you don't have anything. You're a waiter at a restaurant. And did you seat and wait on De Niro and Pacino and end up in The Irishman because of that?
No. So I moved out in 1998. I started working at the Four Seasons Hotel, and at that time, between 98 and 2005, it was really a place where a lot of the junkets for the movies were held. And
sure.
I waited on De Niro, waited on Pacino. This had to be around the year 2000, 2001, and then subsequently ended up in a movie with them called The Irishman, and it had nothing to do with me waiting on them. It's just okay. I auditioned for the part, and I ended up getting it. So it was kind of full circle for me. Here I am, you know, 20 years earlier, waiting on them and bring them a nut caddy and a chicken satay, and next thing you know, we're in a scene together. So, yeah, I mean, that movie, working with Scorsese, Pacino, Pesci, De Niro, I mean, I grew up watching these guys, and the next thing you know, we're doing a scene at the Copacabana. So it was surreal. You know, a lot of the movies that I've been in, and there's not many, but they've been really good experiences. That and The Green Book, which won the Academy Award, was pretty special.
What a wonderful movie. What a wonderful, wonderful movie The Green Book is, man. And you've just done, and again, you are one of those things, like another comedian, they'll just go on, and the legends that kind of come out about Maniscalco. And you have been that guy. Like, people understand, you've already sold out the first night in Kansas City. Are you, is your second one already sold out?
Oh, yeah, we have a few tickets left for that. So, yeah, it's, you know, coming to these cities, you know, first at the comedy club level and then at the theater level. And then, like you said, some cities I go to, we go into arenas. You know, when I first started in 98, I just wanted to do this for a living. I didn't have aspirations doing, you know, arenas and theaters across the country. I just love stand-up comedy so much. Early on, I mean, I started watching stand-up comedy when I was like 9, 10 years old on Johnny Carson. And then I fell in love with it on HBO and all those specials they used to have, Evening at the Improv and what have you. And then, you know, I decided I wanted to do this for a living and moved out here in 98, not knowing a soul. And I'm like, you know, if I could just, you know, pay my rent doing this, I'd be happy. And it kind of exploded beyond my wildest dreams. So it's been a really, really special ride.
Yeah, it really is, man. Nobody does this tour live at the Midland next Sunday. There's two shows one day. And by the way, that's how you know you grew up with the right father, because you'll meet people that go, I couldn't possibly do two in one day. And I'm like, no, that's a dude who knew he had to get to work, and you make all of your days count.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that comes from, like I said, the immigrant upbringing. My father, who is 75, is going to be, actually 76, who's still working as a hairstylist, if you could believe that. I mean, he just had surgery on his shoulder, and the other arm, his bicep, detached from his... His bicep is basically living in his elbow, and this guy's still doing blowouts.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, it's over. You know, I mean, you're going to be 80 and you're still doing dye jobs. So it's the mentality that I grew up with.
Yeah.
And you know, that's static.
Oh, the static is killing me.
That's,
that's kind of what I've adopted through my own life.
No, man, listen, they're already yelling at me that you got a bunch of interviews today, but man, I'll tell you what, I know that you, God knows you don't need help selling your shows out in Kansas City, but man, you're always welcome here to make the call if you want to come by the studio, whatever, man, I'll take you out for barbecue, but I'm just a huge fan, and one of the ways I was going to tell you, like I found out about you years ago, was Howard, of course, is a huge fan of yours, Howard Stern. He was just going on and on. And I was like, man, I got to find this guy and really get into it. And it was how I got led to all of your comedy.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It really means a lot to coming on your show and promoting mine. And hopefully next time I'm in town, I'll take you up on that barbecue offer.
Anyway, stay right there. Hold on. That static's killing me, Jake. That wasn't us, was it? Jake, is that us?
I don't think it was.
That wasn't us doing that.
Yeah, that was his. Like, I tried to get it worked out early on, and we did okay there for a while, but that was on his line. He's going to try to do something else.
Dude, he has got such a Schimmel in him. Well, I'm like, because I was, Schimmel was a dear friend. Like, he was a friend. Like, I cried like a pussy when he died. But do you not hear that?
Oh, no.
It's like, that Schimmel, I mean, I'm like.
He's Schimmel, and Schimmel would do it in a quiet way. Like,
yes.
Schimmel could do it sitting on a stool and let you know. And Sebastian, he is Schimmel, but it's just.
Yeah. And I say that
motivated.
With love.
It's just, yeah.
I say that with love. Oh, he's got his own thing. But by the way, I mean, you understand this guy? Because most people go, who? Sebastian Maniscalco. But I'm telling you, comedian. He is. And he's like, you know, like a Grateful Dead style band, a band that doesn't need an MTV video, a hit. Doesn't need a song on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't need to be
the
force-fed, media blitz.
Yep.
A dude who just on your own, people find you, and then they go, I'm a giant fan. And they just, that's the kind of stardom that lasts forever. Like, it just goes and goes.
Well,
when
you start doing, like, as he moves towards the Midwest, he's trying to get a following here. But
I'd say if he's selling out two shows at the middle, that's 6,000 seats.
And it'll be arenas before you know it here, because he's already doing arenas on the East Coast. And the arena guys are, you're talking Foxworthy,
yes.
Larry, Jeff Dunham. Like, that's that's big time.
But those guys, and by the way, the follow the thread, hardworking. Nobody really saw it coming. It just happened for them.
Uh-huh.
You know, Larry the Cable Guy. Dude, Larry, remember, he came in, he made it old school, one show at a time, one fan at a time, and also you're like, did you just do a pavilion in Wichita? And all of a sudden, I'm like, are you playing, did you personally rent Kemper Arena, Larry? And he did, and he rented.
On his own,
on
figured
his own.
Out.
He figured out that he didn't need anybody else. He went, what's it cost to come in here? And he'd literally go, can you turn the mic on? And he would literally show up with no staging.
Genius.
Yeah.
Nothing. One mic, and they'd turn the white light on over the stage, and he would sell it out. And guess what? Then you get to keep all the money. Like, you're not paying all this other stuff.
Yeah, I need to go to Larry the Cable Guy school.
But they are, like,
dude,
Larry,
smart, man.
Like Larry, Sebastian, those dudes, they are the same guy.
They work their ass off.
They just grind nose down for years, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, who's this dude?
This overnight sensation.
He's the biggest thing on
who's
the planet.
Who's that guy in the coyote fur coat?
Yeah, the 20-year overnight sensation.
Look at Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart might be the biggest deal on the planet.
Yep. Right.
How many times did I tell this story to my son, and he can't believe the number of times I've met Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin comes screaming in here.
Yeah. Sat with him, talk about, because they, the tennis shoes and whatever, like he was a big deal on Nike tennis shoes. And I'm like, no, I've sat with Kevin Hart relentlessly.
Anybody wondering about the clap it up when you hear it on the show? That's Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
That's him walking in the studio because he could hear the sound effect of our clapping as we're coming in. That's him coming through the
door. That's right. Clap it up. I want to hear the clap, Stan. Clap it up.
Which one you know it?
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
It's Kevin Hart. Of course that's Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that's always been. But people have no idea. That's Kevin Hart. Like. But yeah, though the guys who work their ass off, that just nonstop, and again, that 20-year overnight sensation.
Yep.
It's just those are the guys that get it done. And again, I'll say it again, I root for the good guys. Maniscalco is one of those guys. Like, his comedy's fantastic. You would love it, Nick.
Just the discussion of the Gorney just with his dad, it's so real.
Dude, it everything about it is so genuine, man.
It's been a big week for me. My wife and I celebrated at a restaurant. My wife never knows what she wants to eat. She always goes, you go first. I said, all right, I'll have a New York strip and mixed vegetables. Back to you. How long did you think I was going to take?
Yeah. again, it's just the truth, man.
Takes one little truth and punches it right in the balls.
Yeah.
Can't take the airport, especially now with these families. Especially now. Summertime, the families, they're coming out like ants. Ants. With these little kids. Enough with these little kids on an airplane, okay? 1 week old with placenta on it going to Hawaii. For why? And what happened to fathers in this country? Their balls have been detached and thrown in a purse somewhere. What is going on with the fathers? I'm looking at this family check-in. The wife is doing everything. She's lifting the heavy bags. She's doing the ticketing, the boarding passes. And the father's off to the side like a dunce, sitting there with his son hanging off his chest in some type of kangaroo sack. Honey, do you... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to speak. I'll just sit here like an idiot. I'd breastfeed if I could. You know that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!